Well, this is the final message in our series, The Who's Who of Christmas. And this last month, we've been putting the spotlight on some of the key characters of the Christmas story and drawing out lessons for life. And today we're looking at Simeon and Anna. Now, Simeon and Anna, they may seem slightly unusual to cover as we don't see them in any nativity. We don't find them on the Christmas cards. We don't tend to sing about them in any Christmas carols. However, even though their role is technically 40 days after Christmas, I do think Simeon and Anna deserve a place in our Christmas teaching series on the characters of Christmas. And being the last Sunday of Advent as well, that season in which we prepare our hearts for Christmas, I think Simeon and Anna really are two wonderful examples of people who waited expectantly for Christmas, or more specifically, for the Christ of Christmas. Let's read their story. Would you turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and we'll be reading from verses 22 to 38. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 38. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, that's Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Of all the people that God might have chosen to recognize Jesus, why these two people? Well, Luke, the writer, he gives us some information about the qualities of Simeon and Anna. And I want to focus very briefly on two of these characteristics. But just before I do that, very quickly, let me say something to the more mature, the older people amongst us here today. Because it's fair to say that Simeon and Anna, they were in the autumn season of their lives too. Notice how God used Simeon and Anna, two elderly people. I say this and I highlight this because this culture sadly often associates old age with a loss of hope. But look at the hope by which Simeon and Anna operate. You know, even in some parts of the church today, it can seem that once you pass a certain age, that's it, that the best is behind you. But look at Simeon and Anna. They made history right there in their old age because they kept their hope in God. And so to you in the autumn season of your life, I want to tell you, keep your hope in God. These were two old people who were full of expectation and who were full of faith. And also look at the impact that Simeon and Anna had on Mary and Joseph too. What you need to appreciate is that this wouldn't have been the easiest time for Mary and Joseph, a very young couple with a child. I mean, that's big in and of itself, but this is not any ordinary child, a huge responsibility. Added to that, they've got the likes of King Herod who've just been after them, trying to kill their baby. But look at how these two older people, Simeon and Anna, sought to encourage this young family, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. What a beautiful picture of the generations coming together. And I pray to God that that's the type of intergenerational church that we will be at One Church, encouraging one another and spurring one another on. Not just weighted towards the young or not just weighted towards the old, but the generations interacting and working together with one another, fulfilling God's plans for us as a church and also as individuals. Okay, to those two characteristics that I wanted to focus on. First of all, Simeon and Anna, they were both waiting for something. Or more specifically, they were waiting for someone, the Messiah. Verses 25 and 38, they show us that both Simeon and Anna, they were looking and hoping for God to do something. In verse 25, it says that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. In verse 38, it says that Anna spoke of the child to all who are looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, in a few moments, I'm going to unpack those terms, consolation and redemption. But from Simeon and Anna's story, we can learn that those who are willing to wait on God, to those ones, God will ultimately give you what you're searching for. Good things happen to those who wait on God. Now note that Simeon and Anna, they're quite old. And presumably, they've been waiting for a very long time. You know, sometimes the years go by and it seems that God isn't answering our prayers. But let me tell you something, and we learn that here in the story of Simeon and Anna. No prayer prayed in the will of God is wasted. So I want to tell you, keep waiting and keep praying and keep being faithful, because God sees, God hears, and God knows. And the events of that first Christmas are the proof that you need that our God keeps his promises. So keep on waiting on the Lord. I wonder, what are you anticipating? What are you waiting on? Well, follow the example of Simeon and Anna. Keep close to God in the time of waiting. Many people, that's when we start to move away from the Lord. But in that season of waiting, keep close to the Lord. Notice that in their waiting, both Simeon and Anna, they kept on being faithful, doing what they were meant to do, and they kept on showing up there at the temple. By the way, that's a helpful thing to remember when it's tempting to get slack with our church attendance. Imagine if Simeon decided he was not going to show up at the temple that day. You know, when we don't show up, it's possible that we miss our opportunity for the miracle. Well, thank God that Simeon and Anna, they did not miss their opportunity that day, that one day when Jesus physically came to the temple. And by the way Simeon and Anna waited for the first coming of Jesus, the Messiah, is a model how we should wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because if you look in your Bibles, the Bible says very clearly that Jesus Christ is coming back again at a future point, physically, tangibly, and visibly. And if we are waiting, preparing, and looking for him, just as Simeon and Anna were, well, that day will indeed be a very joyful and glorious day for us. So they were waiting. Secondly, Simeon and Anna, they were both worshippers. This is one of the reasons I believe that God chose them. Not just that they were waiting, but that they were worshippers as well. Simeon, it says there in verse 25, he's righteous and devout. The Holy Spirit is upon him. Anna, you can see it in verse 37, she seldom departs from the temple. She worships God there night and day with fasting and praying. And despite the loss of her husband, that must have been a very painful experience. And despite the difficulty of living in that day and in that culture as a widow, do you know what she did? In her pain, she leaned into God and she kept on worshiping. In her brokenness, she drew close to God. And so clearly, both Simeon and Anna, they are very God-centered people, faithfully serving God. They worship God. They praise God with faith-filled expectation. And I think this is at least part of the reason why God chose them. Out of all the other people he could have chosen to have that amazing privilege of seeing Jesus that day, he chose them. And when I say seeing Jesus, of course, many people saw Jesus, but Simeon and Anna were able to see him as the Messiah. Just think about it, because there were many people in the temple courts that day. And Mary and Joseph, on the outside, they didn't look like a likely couple to be the parents of the Messiah. I mean, he was a poor carpenter from Nazareth. She was a peasant girl. They were poor. They were from the wrong part of the country. They spoke funny. That's what everyone else saw and heard. They couldn't see it, but Simeon and Anna could see it. Why? I think because they were worshippers, because they were close to God. Do you know what worship does? It brings us up to a higher perspective, a better perspective, a more accurate perspective. And it enables us to see and to hear the plans, the purposes of God, and to get into alignment with God. We are reminded by Simeon and Anna's story that if we seek God, we will find him. And of course, God organizes it in such a way that Simeon and Anna just happen to be in the temple at the very time Joseph and Mary are bringing baby Jesus there. God had positioned them at just that moment, at the right time, on the right day, in just the right place. Now, let's zoom in a little bit more on each of these two characters. Let's look at Simeon first. Simeon, he's been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die without seeing the Messiah. And so we find him eagerly awaiting the imminent appearance of the Messiah. And he has been led by the Spirit to the temple on this day, this very day that Mary, Joseph, and Jesus are coming. And when Simeon sees Mary and Joseph bringing in Jesus, I'm sure he asked the Holy Spirit, "Is this the one?" And he probably asked that question many hundreds of times of many other babies by that point. But this time, different to all those other times, the Holy Spirit says, yes. And so Simeon, he must have been ecstatic. And he eventually, with the parents' permission, he takes the baby Jesus in his arms and he praises God because of him. And he declares that he has now seen God's salvation, the salvation of both Jew and Gentile. Notice that the Bible says Simeon, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Turn to somebody and say, consolation. Let me explain this to you. Things were not going too well at that time for the nation of Israel. They had lost their political independence and they were living in fear under Roman oppression. King Herod, he was a very cruel king too. And I guess many were wondering if the Messiah, God's deliverer, would ever come. Well, the consolation of Israel was that future time when the occupied, weary, sin-laden Jerusalem would receive her pardon, her comfort, her relief from the Lord. And this was all wrapped up in the coming of the Messiah. You know, that desire to be consoled or comforted is a universal human need. It doesn't just belong some 2,000 years ago to the nation of Israel. It's something that every single one of us, at some point, at least in our lives, desire. Because we all struggle at times with loneliness, with emptiness, with insecurity, with fear, with guilt. And we can, like the Jewish people of Simeon's day, also feel weary and under oppression. But into this very situation, if we look for him, the Messiah, God's deliverer, will come. And that's what was happening the very first Christmas. And just like Simeon recognized that Jesus was the consolation of Israel, Friends, I want to tell you, Jesus, he is the consolation that you are looking for. And he is the consolation that you need. Here's the good news that I've come to tell you this Christmas Eve. The blessing of God's consolation is available to all who will receive Jesus. For those of you who have been weighed down by sin, God's consolation is here and he brings you pardon. For those of you who are battling with grief, God's consolation is here and he brings you comfort. For those of you who are worried, God's consolation is here and he brings you peace. For those of you who are struggling with sickness and pain, God's consolation is here and he brings you healing and he brings you strength. For those of you who are beleaguered by guilt, God's consolation is here and he brings you forgiveness. And he brings you restoration. The word consolation in the original Greek text comes from the noun paraklesis. And that's actually the word that is used by Jesus to describe the Holy Spirit. It means to be called alongside. And so when Jesus uses the term parakletos to describe the Holy Spirit, he's describing the Holy Spirit's role as the one who is called alongside us. Well, what this means is that through his Spirit, Jesus extends his comfort to us. That word is also sometimes translated comforter or counselor. And so God, through his Spirit, extends his comfort to us in broken relationships, in loss, in loneliness, in sickness, in pain, in trouble and fear. He is literally alongside us. He is God with us. He is Emmanuel. And this is one of the awesome truths about Christmas, because it means that we don't have to go it alone any longer. God is with us. God's consolation is here. He is alongside us. No matter what we go through, he's there with us. Now let's look at Anna. Anna, she is a prophetess. That's her ministry. And the way she is described, she practically lives in the woman's court of the temple. And she was looking forward to the same person that Simeon was, but with a related, though slightly different, orientation. Whereas Simeon, he was looking forward to the consolation or the comfort of Jerusalem. Anna, she was looking forward to the time when Jerusalem will once again be free, be liberated from Roman oppression. And specifically, it says she was looking forward to the day of redemption for Israel. Turn to somebody and say redemption. The word redemption, it's a commercial term related to the idea of the releasing of slaves or the buying back from captivity. Perhaps Anna, when she was talking about redemption, was thinking back to the Passover, many hundreds of years before, when Israel was released from slavery in Egypt. But I think she knew that ultimately Passover pointed ahead to a day when God would provide deliverance from the slavery of sin. And now in Jesus, that baby that she's able to see right there before her, Anna knew that here at last was the one, the only one who had the power to redeem. That in this baby, God was fulfilling his promises to Israel. Friends, Anna got it exactly right. Jesus brings redemption. In fact, Jesus is the only one who can truly save people from their sins. He paid the highest price imaginable. His own blood to set you free, to set me free from the bondage of sin. Listen, the price of your freedom was just too high. You could never afford to pay it, but Jesus paid it for you. This is why he is your redeemer, our redemption. And so in Simeon and Anna, we find the hope of both consolation and redemption. And we find in Jesus the ultimate fulfillment of that hope. In fact, in Isaiah 52 and verse 9, the consolation and redemption, it's talked about in the very same verse. And it says, burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. This is what both Simeon and Anna in their different ways were looking forward to consolation and redemption. And between the events of the very first Christmas and then the events of the first Easter, so some 30 years, in other words, in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, that prophecy from Isaiah 52:9 and the hopes of Simeon and Anna, they were fulfilled. Why? Because the Lord has consoled, he's comforted his people. That's what Simeon was looking for. And the Lord has redeemed them as well. That's what Anna was looking for. You know, today, consolation speaks to those who are longing for restoration from all that has been thrown away or lost in the past. Redemption speaks to our need to be delivered from any powers that hold us in bondage, from the things that keep us shackled mentally and emotionally and spiritually as well. Consolation and redemption. This is what Jesus brings. Not just relief, but restoration. Not just forgiveness, but freedom. Not just pardon, but a power to live. Consolation and redemption. Now, just before we come into land, I want to say something very specifically about Simeon's prophecy to Mary, because it offers us something really insightful about the identity and the role of Jesus. Let's read it again in verses 34 and 35 of Luke chapter 2. Simeon prophesies, he says, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." He's talking to Mary here. Here, Simeon, he prophetically declares that this baby will be a mixed blessing to the people of Israel, causing some to rise and others to fall. Why is that? Well, quite simply, because how people respond to Jesus and his message will determine their destiny, whether they will rise or whether they will fall. Some will fall, some will rise. Simeon reminds us, therefore, that we just can't remain neutral about Jesus. When it comes to Jesus, when it comes to who he is, and when it comes to what he said, when it comes to whether he is the Son of God or not, you can't sit on the fence. You have to make up your mind about Jesus. Either he is the Son of God or he isn't. And both of those views have consequences for us in terms of what we do and how we live. The way we respond to Jesus reveals what is in your heart. This is what Simeon says. The way you respond to Jesus also tells us where you are going to spend eternity. What happens to you? What will happen to you beyond death's door, 1 minute after you die and then forevermore? People rise or people fall according to their personal response to Jesus. And so Simeon is basically preaching the truth here that Jesus is the great divider of the human race. It's either life or death, salvation or condemnation, heaven or hell. So I wonder, how will you respond to Jesus? That's the question that Simeon's prophecy begs. And then Simeon, he also says something to Mary. It's not the thing that you think you might say to a new mum about her beautiful baby boy. But he prophesies about the pain that Mary will experience later on in her life, when he says a sword will pierce your own soul too. God is preparing Mary for that, but also giving us, here in the Christmas story, a foreshadowing of the Easter story, when Jesus would die a horrific death on the cross. And so we are reminded here, in what Simeon says, that the whole reason why Jesus came to earth in the first place was to die for us. That was his mission. That is why he took on human flesh. The reason for Christmas, friends, is in fact Easter. At Christmas, we rightly celebrate the birth of Jesus. But the important issue of Christmas is not so much that Jesus came, but why he came. Understand this. There was and is no salvation in Jesus' birth. As wonderful and necessary as his birth was, that in itself could never save us from that slavery to sin. No. Jesus, he was born to die. He was born to die for us. Born to die for you and me, that we would be saved from the sin that destroys us. That is why Jesus came, and that is why he was born. And this is what Simeon is prophesying here and giving us an insight into. I wonder today, can any of you identify with Simeon in your need for consolation? It's Christmas, but some of you, I know, are really hurting right now. You feel low, lonely, hurt, depressed, full of fear. Maybe just like it was for the Jews back then, it seems as if God's promises are really far off. Do you need some comfort? Do you need a fresh sense of God's presence? Well, know this. The Jesus that we've been singing about in the carols today, he is your consolation. Your consolation, the one who is alongside you. He is not some distant, detached deity. Yes, he is transcendent. He is far above, but he is also Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is God with you. He is up close and he is personal, and he will comfort you in your time of grief, your time of loss, your time of fear, your time of pain. He's your consolation. Or perhaps you identify more with Anna in her hope for redemption. Maybe you're plagued with guilt this Christmas because of something you've done. Maybe you're trapped in a pattern of sin or a way of living that you just can't break out of. Well, I've got good news for you. If you need forgiveness, Jesus can give it to you because he is your redeemer. If you need to be set free, Jesus, he does just that because he is your redeemer. You know, it's not accidental that Jesus' name in Hebrew, it's Yeshua. That's a form of the name Joshua. And Yeshua, Joshua, it literally means salvation. And the Bible says here in Luke 2 that when Simeon looks at this baby Jesus, literally salvation, what does he say? He says to God, my eyes have seen your salvation. We don't really see it in the English, but it's like a play on words. Salvation. He's holding the baby called salvation. And he's saying to God, my eyes have seen your salvation. You know, this Christmas, the greatest gift you could possibly receive is the revelation that Simeon had there that day. That your eyes would be opened and also see the salvation that is in Jesus. And because Simeon was able to see it, because he was able to behold God's salvation, God's gift to the world, he was able to say something. He was able to say, I can depart in peace. He was now ready to die at that ripe old age. He's got the meaning of life. He's caught hold of Jesus, God's salvation. You see, seeing Jesus enabled him to see something even greater than death, to see the one who raises us to eternal life beyond death, the one who saves us from our sins. So what's the challenge to us? Well, let me put it like this. If you discovered that you were going to die tomorrow, would you be ready to go? Well, let me help you answer that too. Are you at peace with God? Because if you're at peace with God, then you are. Are you at peace with God, or have you received salvation from sin? Have you asked Jesus Christ to take away that sin, to save you, to give you his gift of new life? I put it to you that you're not ready to die unless, just like Simeon and Anna, you have seen Jesus. Until you've trusted him as your Lord and your Savior, to forgive you of your sins, to commit your life to him. It was a special day for Simeon and Anna that day when Mary and Joseph with baby Jesus came into the temple. It was a special day because they saw Jesus. You know, they were waiting for Christmas. Today, you don't have to wait for Christmas because Christmas is here, because the Christ of Christmas is here. And maybe today could be your day too. Perhaps you say, you know what, Pastor, I've already experienced the salvation of Jesus. Well, then I say to you, note what Anna did. she went and she made Jesus known to everyone she could. Let's do the same.